the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast, my weekly podcast where I discuss all things related to health and happiness, living better in the modern world, and how to do so via my unique small steps approach. That may have been the fastest opening yet, episode 114. And by fastest, I mean I didn't have to repeat that 17 times, 17 and a half. Welcome to one and all. I'm glad you're here. I know that I have new listeners, so bear with me. What I do here each week, and sometimes I do interviews, and there's one coming up in the next couple weeks, but mostly I discuss things, like I said, related to living better in the modern world. Thoughts I have around that, struggles that occur, you know, as I meet people and do these talks and work with clients, you know, I'm realizing that this is a struggle. It's what it is. Life is a struggle, I guess you could say, if you wanted to be trite. But it's what it is. And I hope this podcast helps people as a reminder, hopefully informative. But you come here each week to kind of keep in the game of doing the best you can. I think that when we set perfection, more on that later, but we set perfection out there as a goal, we lose. And I think diets are and quick fixes in general are some sort of subtle version of perfection. It's sort of like I can get to perfect very fast, and we fail every time because it's not perfect, it's not real, and it's not us, frankly. So this is about how to achieve the things that we want to achieve via a diet, but actually doing it in a way that we, achieve it. Boom. You see what I'm saying? Okay. Before I begin more on, you know, into depth on those types of subjects, this episode is brought to you by the Mendocino Coast 50K. If you're just joining me, it sounds like a sponsor. It's me. I'm putting on my own race, the Mendocino Coast 50K, the website, MendocinoUltra.com. Got a few more signups. Pretty cool. And this guy, Patrick Cole, a professional ultra runner out of Sacramento, contacted me, and he's been super helpful and really awesome. And he's like getting sponsors, and you know, we've got some stuff coming up. I'm going to start making announcements on that. It's very cool. Got some mushroom coffee going. A little dial back day today, but a different version of the dial back. Hashtag dial back day. I got some people doing it now, and you know, once you start, you know the magic. But I got to get you just to give it a shot. And then you start saying, oh, wait, that's kind of cool. Yeah, right? Okay. Instagram. Oh, by the way, the race at Mendocino Coast 50K is April 23rd, 2016. Go to MendocinoUltra.com. You can sign up or spread the word. Get somebody else to sign up. Just go, hey, you should do this. Don't tell them that it's 31 miles. Just do, yeah, it's a short little race. And then they're committed. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, Sid Garza Hillman, SidGarzaHillman.com. is how you find me personally, all the old episodes of the podcast, videos, which I just realized as I'm saying this that I haven't put the videos on the website, but they're on YouTube. Sid Garza Hillman on YouTube. I did post a Portland Veg Fest video after I did last week's podcast. I said I was going to do it. And guess what I did? I freaking did it. And so that's up too. Got some good response to that. It's kind of a fun, you know, whatever. It's what it is. But on SidGarzaHillman.com, you can enter your email address for a free chapter of my book, Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto. You can order Approaching the Natural merchandise and donate to the podcast. Now, I got a donation a couple days ago and a nice note too. Like, it wasn't enough for them to donate. They had to also write a really nice note. So that's like, whatever. Like, why are you having to go all there and make me all feel mushy and stuff? Huh? Why would you do that? But seriously, thank you. It came in a couple days ago and just very nice thing. And, as I try to figure out, how to make my way over to Edinburgh, Scotland, in next August, those, donations are very, very helpful to help me, get over there to spread the Approaching the Natural word, to really get more members into my cult. Oops. Did I say that out loud? If you're just joining me, no cults here, no gurus here even. Okay, this is about you guys learning how to live better for yourselves. Hopefully, use my tools, but it ain't me. You don't need me to do it. You might need the tools that I impart to you, and then you take it on the run and you check back in here every week and go, yeah, okay, all right, back on track. Cool. Thanks, Sid. Or not. So one thing I was thinking, this is very, very crucial, but it's the holiday season's coming up. If you're listening to this around the time it's launched, it's November 2015. Boom. Mm. And so holidays are coming up. You know what makes the best stocking stuffer ever? The Approaching the Natural Health Manifesto. That little cute little book designed to be small, designed to be the size that it is, which is to fit in your back pocket. I'm not kidding. The publisher said, what if we just model it like this? And I said, great. And we made the font a tad small, but you know, wear reading glasses if you have to. It's not that bad, but some folks have said, like, I have to wear reading glasses. I'm like, yes, but it fits in your pocket for the crying out loud. So anyway, order some books for your friends. Put them in their stockings. Go down the chimney, throw them in the stockings. Go back up the chimney. Or put them on the Hanukkah, on the menorah, or the Hanukkiah. Just set the book right on top of the candles while they're lit. That's another way you can give the gift of the Approaching the Natural podcast via the book. Okay. For real, though, I do head up the Stanford Inns Wellness Center. There is a running retreat with Matt Frazier, No Meat Athlete, in March, June, and October. We're offering 15% off the March one. And if you want to sign up for that, just go to stanfordinn.com or call the Stanford Inn and book it, man, and hang out with Matt and me and do some cool running and get some awesome food. And the like. Marshall, Texas, I'll be there April 1st through the 3rd, healthfest.com. And the Edinburgh Veg Fest, like I said, in August of 2016, veganfestival.co.uk. Boom. Okay, so what was I going to... Oh, yeah, so the Dial Back Day. I like to do sort of like a little hashtag Dial Back Day check-in every week. Stop. There's a few things going on about that. So last week I was in Portland and I traveled back that day and I just wasn't having it. I told you. The next day, got up, did fruit all day, back to business. It felt like great. I had dinner, didn't do the full fruit all day like my typical Dial Back Day, but I just sort of reset the clock from travel pretty effectively. So in a way, didn't need the full-on Dial Back Day in that regard. Fine. Good week this week. The weekend, pretty typical, but doing okay. Took a nice run with Sid. Ran part of the Mendocino Coast 50K trail. So I've been trying to hit some of the, I really want to know those trails. So we did a little ditty. She is what's called good at running on trails, finding ways. I'm what's called not at all good. I literally, this is not a joke, bought a compass yesterday at the hardware store for like $1.49 because we got lost and she's awesome. So if she hadn't been there, I don't even know what would have happened. She got us back and we actually hit this point where she's like, oh yeah, here, we're back to where we were. And it, as if I had never been there. That my brain, I don't know what it is about my brain, but I can, she tests me sometimes. I'll be in front and there'll be like a fork and I'll go one way. And she'll be like, seriously, we've done this run 5 times. You would literally have gone left if I weren't with you. And I've been like, yes, because the flowers are prettier on that side. Like I don't even have any gauge of directions at all. Now, what sets me off maybe apart from the stereotype is that I totally will ask because I just like, I don't want to get lost in the wild and have to be totally natural. I just want to approach the natural. I just want to get down and do sit-ups and push-ups every hour. I don't really want to have to eat twigs and leaves because I got lost on a trail run. I've got a wife and kids at home. Like that's kind of a bummer. Where did your dad go? Oh, he's out there. He's probably in a loincloth by this time. Anyway, but great run. Awesome. Did a 7-miler with Sid this weekend. I'm going to be doing probably a tenner. And I don't mean, you know, that vocal range. I just mean a 10 apostrophe ER. And, yeah, so digging the process of getting to know these trails and also the disappointment that I'm reminded of every time I do a run, on those trails is that I can't run my own race, but that's okay. So I asked you last week, and if you want to come out and volunteer and hang out with me, because guess who's going to be at the start/finish line? Me, all day. I'll be hanging out there drinking probably a ton of coffee if I had my way. I'll be just doing a thermos full, is my guess. Mm. Okay. So the Dial Back Day today, by the way, after my nice run over the weekend, it is getting colder in my area. It is getting dark Well, it's dark at night. We live pretty far north anyway, but the days, you know, with a daylight savings time, which is completely ridiculous. Sorry, but it freaking is. And that's why Arizona's like, we're just not going to do it. And I'm like, damn. And so anyway, daylight savings time. And so excuses, sure, but not really. They're just makes it harder for me to do fruit only when it's like cold and I got a fire going and I got home. And so anyway, what I did was I just ate fruit all day. That's all I've had right now, except for this mushroom coffee I'm having. And a couple espressos, and by a couple, I mean three. And so, but fruit all day. And I'm going to go in and have a salad. So it's a, but here's the dial back portion. By the way, that's a stellar day for me. Awesome. Now, typically what I do is I do my magic dessert, which I've told you about before, a little peanut butter, chocolate chips, coconut. You're welcome. It's amazing. Little squeeze of maple syrup and a little bit of sea salt, and you mix that together. Good night, Johnny. However, I've been noticing I'll do that and I'm clearly like not hungry to do it. And I'm doing it as a habit. My dial back day today is to not do that. So I'm having the salad and no dessert. I'm just going to not do that because I have found myself regretting it. I found myself the next morning going, I didn't need that. I don't know why I did it. That's where I'm hyper-focused right now. That's what I'm going to dial back on. Now, you might ask, well, how do you do that? That's restrictive. No, it's not, because I want to feel good tomorrow. Number one, boom, nailed you on that one. So don't even try. Don't even freaking try. Remember what last week what happened? Remember I made you set up the incline on your treadmill? Today, again, don't test me. Incline goes up. I'm wired to all of your treadmills right now, and I can make them go up at any moment, so you behave. Secondly, it's not restrictive, but here's the tool that I'm doing, to get me to do this. It's a little tool that I call, this is going to sound so disrespectful. I did not mean it this way at all. A little tool I call my wife. And she's not a tool. I'm just saying I'm eliciting her help in getting this done. This is the social aspect of my practice. This is what I do with clients. I have them have their partners and spouses, if the spouses and slash partners are open to it, help them. Not them trying to fix their partner, but their partner helping them and saying, hey, can you help me out here? So that's what I did. I said, my wife was going to do fruit only too. And we were just like, man, I'm just burnt. And it's like kind of cool. Let's have a salad. We said, great. But I said, listen, I don't want the dessert. That's where I'm honing my focus. That's the point of contention for me. And can I help you? Can you help me just be like, don't do that? Or better yet, as I've said before, she'll say, you told me that you didn't want that dessert. And it puts it back in my court. I make a decision about it. Okay. So that's my dial back day. Is it the same as my other dial back days? No. And that's a disappointment because the person who's in charge said, oh, wait, no, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. I said it. I dictate it. I make my own choices. Okay. Boom. All right. Speaking of which, so it's like a different version. Okay, do you get that? Dial back days, dial back. It's dial back. It's engaging in your life in that moment, doing something differently than you usually do to sort of reset your clock. It can be something as little as not eating dessert that I don't want in the first place, but I do because out of habit and everything else. So I kind of just ratchet it back. My wife helps me be present in that moment to make that decision. More on that later. Boom. Now, I'm revisiting balance again because you know that I do that almost every week. And what I was thinking of is for true, there is no getting around this. For true change, for actual life change, and I don't mean diets because they don't actually affect change, but they actually have this effect. And here's what I'm getting at. We have to upset the balance. There is an upset of balance because here's the thing. Whether you like it or not, there is a balance to your lives right now. There is the pieces of your lives are set in ways that kind of don't change. They're just where they are. If you spend all your time on the phone and you don't eat heavy box foods and you don't exercise and but then you hang out with friends a lot or you work a ton, like that's just kind of when you've put yourself into the place of what you do, whether that works for you or not. That's sort of like the puzzle pieces are sort of set where they're set. Making any change to any part of that, adding a little more heavy box food, spending a little less time on the phone, moving your body a little bit more, working a little bit less, whatever that is, upsets the balance. Whatever you change, for better, for worse, by the way, upsets the balance. Any change to the normal way that those pieces of your life fit together will upset that balance. When it is upset for a period of a long period, for a short period of time, balance gets upset, boom, you're back into your old ways. I mean, that's what, if it doesn't last long enough, if the upset of the balance doesn't last long enough, you will revert back to your, as it is, your normal. Not to say that your normal is perfectly in balance. It's just you're juggling the things that you juggle in a way that day to day just is what it is for you. It's not a good or bad thing. It's what it is. But as you make an adjustment, that upsets the balance. There's no getting around that. And I think what happens is that we want all these changes without upsetting the balance. We want what we want without understanding that there is going to be upset. There's going to be upheaval. The way that all the pieces fit together is the way that they fit together. And when we change that, things don't fit together the same way. And now all of a sudden, we're drawn into the attention of that. We're drawn into going, oh my gosh, now I got it's sort of like forced assessment. All of a sudden it's like, well, I can't just turn off my switch. I can't have turned on my awareness switch. I got to pay attention to this stuff because it's weird and different and odd. Now, when I said diets don't give us the solution to true change, they of course upset the balance. They upset the balance. They just don't last long enough. I mean, they upset the balance for a short period of time, and by the way, totally in a nutty nut way, but they don't last long enough to stick. There's never a resetting of a new balance. There's just bat out of hell, failure, back to the old ways. I mean, that's typically what happens. And you can argue with me again, but then I can just be like, okay, but statistics show. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. And the thing is, if diets worked, we'd be super. I mean, people are buying diet books like they're going out of style. They don't fit in stockings. I'm not saying that. They don't fit in stockings. But people are buying those diet books. And yet, on the whole, are we getting healthier? Are we getting thinner? Don't know. The math doesn't add up. You have to upset the balance. Fine. The only thing that I advocate for in my practice is how much are you willing to upset the balance right now? And then when you reassess again in a week or 2 weeks or whatever, how much more are you going to upset the balance? The fact of the matter is, and this is the beauty of my approach, you upset the balance by making a little change. If you stick with that long enough, a new balance is reset. And now you can make another decision to upset it yet again. But it's not like you're upsetting it and before it has a chance to reestablish itself, you're adding even more on and then more on and then more on like a moron. Sorry, that's just totally off the charts. I'm going to edit that out. It's not like you're compounding the upset. In fact, it's the opposite. I'll use my integrated exercise as a perfect example. I'm up to 20 push-ups, 20 squats on the hour for 7 hours a day. And not exactly on the hour. Like I still have 4 left and it's the evening right now because I had a busy day. I was teaching and just like crazy stuff. So I got as much as I could done at work and I got 4 more left. I'll spread them out over the rest of the evening. Whoop-de-doo. But I'm up to 20, started at 5, probably 5 months ago. I mean, so what I do is every time I add one push-up, one squat, I do it long enough to where a new normal is set. My body adjusts to it. It's easy for me at the point, and it's not, I don't look at a calendar. I don't go, okay, I have 4 more days of this left before I XYZ. That's what a training plan would show me. That's what a weightlifting plan would show me. And that works for people whose goals maybe are gaining weight or whatever. Not my bag. I mean, I want to gain strength, but it's not an aesthetic thing for me. It's just, I want to gain strength. I like moving my body. I like the way it feels. So I go one up and then I wait. And I hang with that. And a new balance is reestablished. My body adjusts to the extra push-up, extra squat. Is it really not that big of a deal to add one? So it doesn't take that long for it to adjust. At the point where I go, well, that was easy. I can whip through that right away. Then I add another one. What's interesting to me is that it has worked out by pure chance that it is about a 2 to 3 week process. Now, maybe that's just my body. And somebody else's body could be wired in a different way and they can just, they have a meteoric rise in push-ups and squats way faster than I do. I don't know. Don't care. It's not my concern because I'm progressing at a good speed. Now, could I get more strength by going to a gym and doing weightlifting full on with a trainer? Of course. But that's not my goal. The time that I devote to exercise is devoted to running because that's my joy. but I wanted to augment it with a little bit of strength training. This is what works for me. At the point that it doesn't, I hope that the work that I do on myself and with my clients results in me saying, this isn't working. Let me find another way, or let me figure out a way to do something different so that it does get what I want. I'm in charge. You're in charge of you. So there's the integrated exercise. There's the balance. Okay. You do upset the balance. Of course you upset the balance. And it's not comfortable always because you have to think about stuff. Isn't it weird that we're designed to be present and in the moment, but in the modern world, we are so not used to being present in the moment that it actually seems like a labor. It seems difficult for us to pay attention to stuff. We don't like that. We don't like upheaval. We don't like losing our jobs. Of course not. But we can look back 5 years later and go, well, thank God I lost my job. That turned out to be the best thing ever. But in the moment, it's the worst thing. It's like all the stuff you have to attend to before you're just going to work, doing your thing. It's getting your paycheck and buying your stuff. And all of a sudden, it's just boom, a major upheaval. It's, of course, it's not comfortable. It's stressful. The stress that you feel is your body's drive to establish new balance. It is always trying to establish new balance. And when you do something that's out of whack, there's a stress response that's in accordance with that. It's proportionate to what you're going through, or at least what you interpret that you're going through. And your body gets stressed because it's trying to get back down to what it knows and is less stressful doing. That's its job. That's what its job. And that's your brain's job too, your mind's job too. When something upsetting happens, you want to talk to a friend. You want to dissipate that stress so you can, guess what? Get back to normal. When you lose your job, you want to find another job so you can reestablish. You don't want to sit in that place of discomfort, in that place of vulnerability and insecurity. You want to fix it to get back to normal. That was rough, but wow, man, thank God I'm back I'm back in it now. Thank goodness, right? Okay. If I made a point there, I don't know what it is, but I'm acting like I did. I'm like, yeah, you got it? You got it? Okay, good. Let's not, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I think we've put this to bed. I want to talk about physical hunger versus emotional hunger. In my book, I talk about feeding the body, the approaching the natural body and approaching the natural mind. Essentially, this is what this is. This is physical hunger versus emotional hunger. And again, there's a balance of both. When one gets out of whack, it sets the other out of whack. But more on that in a second, because it is about the balance. We fill ourselves up when we can. That's a fact. When we're physically hungry, we fill ourselves up. When we're emotionally hungry, we fill ourselves up, either via something that just like food gives us pleasure in the moment, or something that gives us more long-term joy and also pleasure, a little mix of the one or the two. But in the modern world, we essentially can fill, we're hungry, okay? And we can fill ourselves at any time. Like this is, I always come down to this thing of like the plethora of emotional food and the plethora of physical food, meaning food, is massive. It's unprecedented. We never have had the amount. I mean, even when there were books, we had to still have to like read a book and it took a long time. We can get an entire narrative. I mean, look what they do with a book, you know, Pride and Prejudice, which is freaking brilliant. I don't have a problem admitting that I like Jane Austen movies. I don't, that's the me of the not me, is I like Jane Austen movies. My wife and I will literally watch a Jane Austen movie. Okay, Emma, Sense and Sensibility. I mean, seriously, this is stuff, I feel good about this. It's cathartic for me to get this off my chest. Okay, back to this. When you would read a book, hours, days, condensed into a movie. That's like the modern world. We put Keira Knightley in it. Boom, hour and a half, 2 hours later. Boom, you're good. I got the bullet points. I got the bullet points. Subtlety of language. Faff. Blah. What happens? Does she get the guy or not get the guy? She gets the guy. Good. Okay. Good. Is she proud or is she prejudiced? I think that's what that movie's about. Now, physical hunger and emotional hunger. We have the ability to feed, and so what this has created is the expectation of the ability to feed. This is what we set ourselves up for, these crazy situations where we're just like, I'm hungry, I need it now. I got my phone and I got my drive-thru. Boom, fed, done. and there is a horror associated of not getting fed. We want it immediately. This comes up for me a lot when I'm feeling, the last few weeks for some reason, I've been exploring this where I feel hungry, and don't even get me started on true hunger, because it's very seldom in the modern world where we experience true hunger, where we're like, our body needs calories in the moment. Usually we're overweight and we have a system of habits of eating at certain times. And when we miss those times, and also the food we're eating leaves like toxic residue, and that can make us feel uneasy and kind of weird. And we interpret that as hunger, et cetera, et cetera. We have an expectation of immediate fulfillment of our emotional and physical hunger. If we do not get our emotional needs met, we will go to less healthy versions of that. If we do not get our physical needs met, we will go to less healthy versions of that. And there is a horror of not getting fed. And I've been, like I said, been exploring this a little bit, because I have felt hungry in the last few weeks. And I go, okay, I'm feeling hungry. And I have this thing of like, I'm okay. I'm not starving. And I know that there are people in the world who are starving. It ain't me. And I feel hungry, just like sometimes we feel bored, we feel lonely, and there's this thing of like, this feeling should not exist, I better take care of this immediately. So recently, in the last few weeks, I've had these moments where I go, so what if I'm hungry? And it was actually really nice on the travel days, because I didn't pack a ton of food in my bag. Like I was on purpose, I was like, so what if I'm flying and I get hungry? Like, what's the, so what? Like, I know I'm going to get food. I'm going to land in Portland and I'm going to go out to freaking dinner. Like, I got it. I didn't starve myself all day, but I was like, I had a Clif Bar and whatever else I packed in my bag. And I was hungry. I felt hungry. And I was like, okay, I felt hungry. Like, you don't always have to respond to these signals. Or when you don't immediately fill by even, and the thing is, we actually don't, truly, we don't really respond. We just react. Like, so we don't go, I'm hungry. Am I really hungry? What do I really want? We don't even ask those questions. We just feel this pang of physicalness and we just boom. And we feel this loneliness and we just boom, movie on right away. There is a power, and I'm not advocating anybody to try this on. This is just kind of where I'm at right now. But I've talked about it before, delayed gratification. There's a power. The better we get at waiting, the better we get at filling in these gaps with thought, with realizing how little, like I always say, little we need to be happy. And I call it setting the weight. If we're in charge of saying, I know that I feel hungry, but I'm going to put a minute between me and that food. That's where I'm going to start. I'm just going to put a minute. I'm still going to eat, but I'm going to put a minute between me and that food. And then I get used to not having to just feel the emotional hunger and the physical hunger as soon as I feel it. I can actually create moment gaps of time that don't exist in my life now. I can create more of those gaps. What can I do with those gaps? Assessment, deep breathing, moving my body, texting a friend, things that are maybe more life enriching than just taking care of the symptom of emotional or physical hunger. And again, if you're truly hungry, this ain't about that. Okay, this is about, you know, this, we know we have access to food, we know we have access to distraction via entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. We don't always have to feed it at every moment of every day. We don't always have to. Of course we don't have to at all. We do, and I'm certainly in that space, but through my own practice in my own life, I've worked with clients who I go, let's build in 5 minutes before you eat to do something that is enjoyable, non-food related. But here's the little kind of tipper part of that. When the wait is finished, I don't say, okay, now portion control. Okay, now don't eat what you were going to eat. Like, this is a little trick so that you don't eat. No, it's not that about. It's not that about at all. It's not about that at all. Portion control, in my mind, extends restriction. So if you set up a wait and then you portion control, you're still not feeding, you're not satisfying that physical hunger, whatever that emotional hunger, whatever it is. I don't want to say, okay, wait, create this space, and now continue by portion controlling so that you're not feeling satisfied in your hunger. It's not a natural state for us. Portion control is not a natural state. It keeps us hungry. We want to be satisfied. The only question is, how are we satisfying ourselves? That's it. You can actually satisfy yourself. And by the way, if you wait, sometimes the hunger truly does go away because you're like, oh, I actually wasn't hungry. Or if you think, I'm starving for a burrito, and then you think, am I really hungry if I just have a salad? And all of a sudden you find you're not hungry. Big surprise, because you have a craving, not hunger. But again, have the burrito. But the more you consider these little moments, the more you set the weight, the more that you take a little moment and then say, after this is done, I'm going to feed and I'm going to feel satiated in hunger, fine. But it sets you up in a completely different mindset as you sit down for that food, as you sit down for that food. If you then, after the moment of wait, set your little portion control and count your little calories, you're just in the moment. You're just in that, not in the moment. You're in that place of restriction. You're in that place of keeping yourself hungry. Those things don't last. We're not designed to portion control. Sorry, we're also not designed to count calories. Can you be thin by portion controlling? Of course you can. You can be thin by doing a whole bunch of stuff. But in my, this is my premise, it's my thesis, the more we appeal to our natural design. I think we have it right in our natural design. But you may disagree. You may think, oh no, we can outsmart Mother Nature. But I disagree. I think the more we appeal to our natural design, the better we do. Such that I don't think any animal, and you look, if you know an animal who counts calories and has a glycemic index chart and portion controls, then you email me and I'll be like, you know what, I totally stand corrected. The lemur counts calories. And I'll be like, I didn't even know. But then I would say, okay, well, that's only one of the millions of species. So I still would win that. I still would win. Why are you arguing with me? I've got my hand hovering over that incline button. You're really testing me this week. It's not cool. The fact of the matter is, it's the stuff outside of us that brings us pleasure. But none of that can make us happy. Happy is a state of mind. Happy is a state of mind. There are things that give us joy. But the fact of the matter is, when we are in a place of ourselves, then we can actually be happy. We can find joy even if we're not generally happy. We can do things that give us pleasure. We can do the short-term things that fill that emotional hunger and feed that physical hunger. But at the end of the day, I'm realizing that I believe happiness to be an internal state. The only question is, what actions can we take to achieve that internal state? And it's never about taking pleasurable things away for the sake of taking pleasurable things away. It's just, is there a balance? Is there a way that you can create moments or time in your life and exist? I don't care how busy you are. Sorry, I've never worked with somebody so busy that they can't find time to take care of themselves. They may not, but they have the time. You have the time. And I believe most people have the time to do it quite well. But again, how do you get there? What does that look like for you? Okay. All right. I also want to stand corrected because I was, as I was preparing the notes for this week's podcast, I looked in my email and I'm on the Mind Body Green. I've done some articles for them and I was on their little list. I shouldn't have even mentioned them, but it's so freaking ridiculous that it just kills me. 5 reasons to add more protein to your diet. And it's hilarious, except for it's not hilarious at all. It's killing us. But what I noticed, of course, I had to click on it because I was like, okay, this is going to be fun. But it's such a ridiculous article, I can't even tell you. But here's my problem with it. Again, if you're just joining me, I'm gonna jump into nutrition just for a second. In this article, there is a complete and utter disregard for the micronutrients. That's what always happens in the discussion of protein. Even if I agreed with the premise that we need to add more protein into our diets, which we don't, nobody is deficient of protein in the modern world, nobody. Even if we did, even if we really needed more reasons. And by the way, she cites these studies that if you eat more protein and for breakfast, it keeps you blah, 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 blah. We still are missing day to day. And yogurt, by the way, was one of her things. Yes, because we need cow's milk for sure. Absolutely. We need to keep breastfeeding into adulthood, of course. There's a disregard for the micronutrients, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals in plants, by the way, guys, antioxidants in plants, in spades, fiber in plants, not in animal foods, water, the things that are part of the food that come with food. Water is not technically a nutrient. Don't get me started. I'm not saying that. I'm saying let's focus on the things that come with a protein. Let's focus on the things that come with carbohydrate. She said, oh, if you plant-based, there's ways. Oh, give me a freaking break. Gorillas are doing just fine on leaves and berries. Sorry, give me a freaking break. There's a disregard. Do not focus on protein, just like do not focus on carbohydrate or fat. Focus on the stuff that comes with. That's the stuff that makes your body run well. That's the stuff. These articles are ridiculous. They're ridiculous. Five reasons to add more stuff. Oh, my God. I mean, come on already. Read the book. I'm trying to get this guy on. His name's Garth Davis. I'm going to meet him in Texas in April. He's speaking at the Health Fest that I'm speaking at. He just wrote a book called Proteinaholic. I recommend that book. Go check it out. You want to talk about science? Go check that book out. Okay? Don't forget. Boom. You thought that I wasn't going to do a good segue this week? I did. Don't forget. That's the title of this week's episode. Okay? Let's get into this. In a second. First, I want to mention something about perfection because I did touch on this earlier, and this is, you'll see how it relates. It's fine. But there is an imperfection in our design. There is imperfection in the design of the human species. And here's the imperfection. It's that we're imperfect. And the reason I mention this is because the whole don't forget thing is all the distractions that I'm going to list in a second. But this is what I want to mention here. Perfection in our species, if it exists, is how to be the perfect human. How to be the perfect... Now, again, we ain't going there. Fine. But just bear with me for a second, okay? I look at it like this. To be the perfect human means being the best version of a human being, and the design of a human being is that it's imperfect. So I think the jump that we make to somehow perfection, meaning no making mistakes, no doing the wrong things, no effing up and having to blah, 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 because that would be imperfect, that's part of our design. The question is, can we just do that the best way we can? I mean, that it's a fallacy to say... I'm getting to the point in my own life where, like, I'm so tired of being right and also I'm tired of being wrong. Like, I don't want either one of them. I have a hard time being wrong. I think everybody does. I hate being wrong. But I want to let that go, just like I want to let go. I'm right. I'm tired of both of those things. They're just distractions for me. I don't want them. I think that we want imperfections to go away, and that's a misguided goal, in my opinion. The imperfections are here to stay. The only question is, how do we handle them? What do we do about them? What are we doing to try to make our lives the best way we can? What are we trying to do to make our human existence as perfect as possible, knowing that the perfection includes imperfection? Because the perfect version of a human being doesn't mean no imperfections, because it's part of our natural design. We mess up. We're not perfect. We're figuring things out. We have a brain that figures things out. That's why we create. That's why we invent. Tell me one person who has ever invented anything on the first try. Doesn't happen. It's trial and error. It's figuring things out. Show me a perfect marriage. We think a perfect marriage. See, this is the we make these problems. A perfect marriage means never arguing. That's impossible. I'm sorry. A perfect marriage means, in my opinion, relating to somebody on a deep level where you're together and you share things and you go through things together and you help each other and you support each other. And of course you freaking argue, because you can't be with somebody that close and never get into an argument. And if you do, you're not communicating. Sorry, but you're not. Because it's just part of our design that we can be intimate with somebody and we can be with one other person for our whole lives, and it's amazing. But it's never so-called perfect, meaning happy, happy, joy, joy. If that's your existence, something's not locking up. You're not connected somehow. You're not connecting to something, because that's part of the design of us. I don't want to make that go away. I want to embrace that and go right on. I want to see the big picture of the imperfections, because why? It allows me not to get hung up on mistakes too long, because it's part of the process. It allows my wife and I not to get hung up too much on an argument, because it's not the thing. The thing is the marriage. The thing is the successful marriage. The argument is not the successful marriage. It's just one little blip in the long-term relationship that we have. These are the things that I don't want us to forget. Don't forget is getting more in touch with these facts. Because these are the things that are going to inform us and dictate and influence our actions. But we get caught up in the stuff. We get caught up in the five reasons to add more protein to your diet, as if that's going to make somebody live a better life. Don't forget to chew your food. Don't forget to live with gratitude. Don't forget to meditate. Don't forget to exercise. Don't forget to eat more blueberries. Don't forget to avoid having your head explode because you're being bombarded with 15,000 different kinds of things that are particulars in and of themselves. And rare is it that we focus on the big picture, because we're mired in don't forget to chew your food. But what does it take to do that? I've said this before. The lists drive me up the frickin' wall, because they are distractions. And we look at that top 10 and we look at that top 7 and we go, okay, one by one, I'm going to just nail these down. And every time we focus on that, that's less time that we're devoted to becoming the person who doesn't have to remember that crap. The don't forget, this is the beauty of my approach. Forget about even carpe diem. I was thinking about this, like carpe diem, seize the day. I think it's too big. I think seizing the day is too much, too hard for us. We get a whole day. That's a lot. We can't seize the entire day. It's too much. That's like saying, just be you all day today. It just doesn't exist. So again, to come back to that whole perfection thing is like to say perfect would be me 100% of the time. I don't think that, because we don't grow up in a vacuum. We grew up with parents. We have friends and outside influences and being bullied at school when we're 7. That informs us for the rest of our lives. That's part of what that is. So to expect that I'm at 28 going to be 100% me all the time is totally unfair to you. It's you being unfair to yourself, because you didn't get to be you when you were a kid. You didn't get to create you from scratch. You got things put on you, and now you're having to, like I said last week, repaint your picture. That's perfect. That's perfect, because that's what it is to live. To think, well, perfect would be as if I always said the exact right thing in the moment, if I just never left and said, God, I wish I had said that. That's imperfect. If I could just be perfect, I would always say the perfect thing. That you, yes, you could if you were a robot. That's how that would happen. Somebody could program you and you tell me if that's going to make you happy. Or you can see the big picture of your life and say, I'm never going to be all me. I'm not going to be me 100% of the time, but more and more over time in this practice of me, I'm going to become this over time, and I'm going to start doing these and have great joys when I do that. And when I screw up and say the wrong thing, then I kind of laugh it off and go, big picture, this is just my life. It's fine what it is. I get a little perspective. Don't forget to chew your food. That's a distraction from those kinds of thinking. Then you're like, I got to chew my food. How the hell do I do that? Forget about the me, not me game at that point. Ships left the harbor. Now, Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, right? This month anyway. I don't know when you guys listen to this, but in 4 days, it's Thanksgiving. So I could go on about live with gratitude, man. But the thing is, I'm gonna. Because the thing is we don't even get the point in our lives because we have these don't forgets. Don't forget to da-da-da. And we aren't even thankful. We need a day in the United States anyway. And I think Canada's got a version. I think it has to do with some sort of boat and a ping pong paddle. I don't understand Canada. I'll tell you right now, Canada is like a whole nother world to me. It's like a whole nother country. Honestly, it's like a whole nother country. But these are the things that distract us from the bigger picture of stuff. And so we have one day to be thankful. One day. Thanksgiving. Give thanks on this day. Well, through my approach, you actually find moments of gratitude your whole life, because in the moments that you catch for yourself, you are you. And when you're you, you're more present. And when you're more present, you notice the things that are working in your life. You notice you're with your kids in the moment instead of thinking about work. And so you have moments of appreciation and true moments of satisfaction and thankfulness and gratitude. Lest we forget, here's a fact, you guys, and I did an episode called The Moving Now, but so essentially this is kind of revisiting this a little bit. All you have, you listening to this, I don't care where you are, what country, all you have is now. That's all you have. You only have the moments. Forget about carpe diem. This is the thing. Carpe diem is too big. It seizes the day. We have to seize the moment. To make this point, I looked up the Latin for seize the moment, And I will tell you right now, if you look at Kingwood High School, class of 87, you might find that I was in the Latin club. You may or may not find that. You may also find out that I was in the physics club. I wasn't in the physics club. Here's what happened. This is a true story. I was in the physics class doing a freaking project, and the yearbook staff came by with photos and took a bunch of pictures. I don't know what was going on. Next thing I know, in the yearbook, I'm in the physics club because I think there was no members and they didn't want it to seem so pathetic, so they just took shots of random people in the freaking physics class. So there I am, member of the physics class. Got no credit for that. Am I a little angry? Yeah, a little bit. Okay, Latin club, I can stomach that. Look, it's not, I wouldn't say it's me. So I did a thing back then. So I did a Google now. You'd think being in the Latin club, I would have known this already, but I had to look it up. It's been a while since I've spoken Latin, the dead language. Occupare momento. Is that so less sexy than carpe diem? I mean, the whole Dead Poets Society movie would have been completely different if it was occupare momento. But it seized the moment. Because all this is, and I was talking to Jeff Stanford, I was like, I got to give him props. He's like, he and I talked about this. This is what we do at work. We don't actually do work, by the way. There's no reason to do that at all. So we talk about ideas. And so seize the moment. All you have is the moment. That is all you have. We can get distracted by don't chew your food and don't forget to live with gratitude and don't forget to meditate and don't forget to exercise. But those are all stealing the moments that are actually define us. What are we doing in the moment? Forget about the don't forget and get to, I don't need to remember. The more moments you are yourself, you don't have to remember stuff. Because in the moment, you will be more present when you eat and you will chew your food. In the moment, you will remember to take a deep breath and you don't have to remember. Don't forget to exercise. In the moment, you'll drop down and do some movement because you'll feel like it. In the moment, you'll eat healthy food because you're in a better place to do that. Don't worry about not forgetting. Don't worry about forgetting. It's just the big picture, the overarching message of all of this is how can you be more you so that you don't have to remember the particulars of adding protein to your diet and da-da-da-da-da and this little thing and that little thing and this little tool and that little trick to try to get you there faster. You don't have to remember all that stuff. There was a woman at the Veg Fest in Portland last week, and she came up to me and she said she happened to be plant-based. And she said, you know, I have a hard time at parties because people ask me why I'm plant-based and I never know what to tell them. She said, I never know what to tell them. I said, okay, well, let me ask you, just between you and me, like right here, right now, why are you plant-based? Just tell me, like, what is the real reason? And she said, well, I think it's healthier and I think better for the environment and I love animals, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, there's your answer. And it got to me, and she said, oh. And I said, you know, that what stops us from, see, don't forget, you know, we don't want to remember lines. We don't want to memorize lines. Don't we do that in our heads when we have a meeting? We go, okay, I'm just going to go this way, and I'm going to say this, and it's freaking perfect. And it never works out that way in the meeting, right? It never works out in the confrontation. It is never scripted. So I don't want to put anybody in the line where I don't forget your line when you go into that party. There's a disconnect there. What I wanted to say to her was, you get to yourself to more connection to who you are. You don't need to remember an answer. You don't need to be worried about forgetting the scripted line because you're you in that moment and you will say why you're acting the way you're acting because you don't need to remember because it's who you are. She's, you know, in the moment, she's feeling judged probably. She's feeling maybe attacked. And so in that moment, she doesn't know what to say because there's a disconnection between she's not her in that moment. But in that moment with me and her in that room, she felt calm and safe. And I said, just don't worry about saying the words, just what, or like a certain way, just what is the real reason? I mean, why did you decide to do this? And she just answered me right away. She said, no hesitation. She's like, oh, because of this, this, and this. And I said, there's your answer. The only struggle for her will be, can she get to a place in her life where more and more she's in a place where she can answer these questions honestly? You know, it's like going in. I can always tell because I help interview people at the Stanford Inn. And there's people who have canned answers. So what was your, well, in 1980, blah, 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 blah. And you can also tell the person who just like, whatever question you answer them, they're in a better place where they can sort of just answer you whatever. They've got that confidence there. There's the script and then there's the person. Don't forget, I got to remember my line. If they ask me about this, I got to remember to say this, 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 and this. You'll fail every time. You're setting yourself up for failure that way because it never goes that way. And secondly, you're not attached. At that point, you're not authentic. You're not in your moment. Your focus to be, in my opinion, a more successful human in the modern world should be not don't forget to chew your food, but how can I make moments for myself to learn who I am and what I stand for? How can I make more moments in my life to give myself a little moment before I eat, before I feel a physical, emotional hunger, to just check in with myself so that I don't have to remember? I mean, the ultimate confidence is like, I'm going to go in for an interview. I don't really care what they ask me. I got it. I know who I am. I'm totally clear. I got my resume down. I know what I've done. I know my experience. I know my abilities. I know my talents. I don't really need to worry about if they ask this, then do that. And if they ask that, then you got to say that. And if they ask, don't forget, if they say this, make sure you say that. No wonder our heads are exploding. No wonder. The more we become moment focused, the less we have to remember. The less we have to say to ourselves, oh my gosh, I hope I don't forget. The small steps approach, the way that I approach this whole process is to help you guys become more moment focused. And when you start focusing on the moment and start making choices for the moment, you're less concerned with what the scale says 21 days from now. You're less focused on the past, why I'm overweight, what happened to me as a child. And again, I'm very sensitive. I don't want to discount therapy and all those great knowledge. It's amazing. But in the practice of you living in the daily world that we all live in, you become more moment focused. Am I doing something good for myself right now? Okay, now how about now? Okay, well, I screwed that one up. Okay, well, that's gone. Because if you're moment focused, you realize quickly the bigger picture of it, what it is to live, and there ain't no future and there ain't no past. That's a fact. That's just a fact. You can argue with me on it. It's just a fact. It doesn't exist anymore. We have memories of it and we have hopes and wishes for what will come. But the fact of the matter is what we do today and the perfection of our experience is to understand the imperfection of our species. I'll say it again. The perfection of our experience is to understand the imperfection of our species, not to try to achieve some imperfectionless existence. It doesn't exist, not in our design. In robots, we try to make computers that are just perfect. They're going to answer the same thing every time. They're going to do the calculations. That ain't us. We have emotions. We have desires. We have hope. We have dreams. We have anger. We have stress. We have fear. And we wade through this mountain of stuff going on in our lives in an unprecedented way. Now we've got all this stuff bombarding us, like I said last week, stuff around the world that we know about and people that we can affect around the world. Likewise, events that occur, and then our children walking out the door to a school and just the fear around that. And we're wading through all these things that are occurring for us and trying to be healthy and trying to eat healthy food and trying to move our bodies and try to have a successful relationship with our partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever. It's an undertaking. The best thing that we can hope for ourselves is that we create more of our day that we are in the moment than not. But we're going to be distracted. We're going to have times that we're not. That's, I mean, essentially like the heroes of the James Bond, like the James Bond type archetype is sort of this kind of perfection archetype in a way, even though that's still a flawed character, but like, it's always like, in the biggest amount of stress, they just keep their cool. They have full, great reaction time, and they can. And it's like we look at that and go, "Wow, wouldn't that be awesome?" Sure, it would be. That's why it's in freaking movie, because it is not real. It's not real. But of course, that makes us think, "Why can't I be that way, where I'm in every moment, totally cool and totally me at every minute of every day?" Because it doesn't exist. Fine, but we can be more of us. We can be more of who we are every day. That's a fact. We can establish a practice of engagement and attention and worrying less about forgetting and more about being. I mean, it's not remembering, don't forget, try to remember, but da 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 da. Oh my God, I got to script my life out. It's, am I experiencing my life at all? Am I worried about what's going to happen, or am I doing the best I can in this moment? What am I doing right now? Am I feeding myself good food right now? Am I feeding myself some sort of healthy food right now? Am I moving my body however I can right now? If you become more moment focused, you're not going to worry about how much weight you lose. And by the way, you'll lose the weight, whoop-de-doo, but you're going to lose the weight. It's fine. It's a pretty simple math problem, you guys. But health and happiness mean grappling day to day with imperfection and understanding that we're not trying to make it go away, but we're trying to be totally okay with it and expecting it in a way, saying, okay, how do I handle that imperfection? How do I handle the mistakes that are coming? How do I handle sadness? How do I handle loneliness? How do I handle depression? How do I handle happiness? How do I handle joy? Because if you ask, how do I handle, you don't have to remember some script. You are learning how what you, the you is of that equation. How do I handle this? Well, how would I? There's your you, me, not me game. Boom. Answer it. How would I handle it, ideally? Okay, good to know. That's who I am. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget. We got pressure, stress, anxiety. It's all the time. We live in a don't forget kind of world, and yet we're more detached from ourselves than ever before. And we're feeding, stuffing our faces with physical and emotional hunger responses, but we're not giving ourselves the time to know what it is that actually does feed us in a way that's healthy and long-term and sustainable and gives us true happiness. The internal state of true happiness is being in the moment more and more. That's the meditation of this without having to sit on a pillow for 40 minutes a day, which, by the way, great, but you know, some of us don't have the time. But we do have the time to build in these moments throughout the day to check in with ourselves. I don't care how busy you are. It doesn't exist. This is how the success of this approach worked. And this is how you can be a more successful, because this is the goal, guys, a more successful human being in your life. And I ain't talking about fame and fortune. I'm talking about a more successful human being is first understanding what a human being is and just trying to be the best version of that possible. We screw up, we make it right. We screw up and we don't go, I'm defensive and I'm, blah, blah. We screw up and we learn how to say, I screwed up and I'm going to try to make it right. And I'm going to try to learn from it and maybe do it less next time, tomorrow, next day, whenever those moments come, but they're going to come. And we're going to be in the moment more and more, the more we engage in our lives and be able to make choices that are us, because when we're present in the moment, we choose like us because we are us. We don't react, we act. You want to act and you want to be an actor in your life, an engaged person who makes choices, be the person. Find out how to be that person. Don't be mired down with the minutiae of how much vitamin B6 is in a freaking blueberry. General knowledge of nutrition, fantastic. Do you need to know a ton? No, you don't. What you need to know is who you are, what you stand for, and how can I figure out how to be that more often? And food plays a great role in doing that, but so does exercise, and so does socializing, and so does creativity, and so do all the things I lay out in my book, all the things that create, in my opinion, the successful human being. But never in my book or my practice have I ever said to you, let's get to a point where you don't make any mistakes. That'd be great. Let's just make sure those mistakes go bye-bye. A diet in 21 days makes you think that you can live a mistake-free life when it comes to food. It's a lie. It doesn't. You do what's on day 12 because it's laid out for you, and you might not make a single quote-unquote mistake in 21 days because you're following somebody else's plan, somebody else's recipes. You haven't learned to be okay with messing up once in a while, to be okay with establishing a most of the time, because sometimes you're not going to eat that well, and that's what it is. But how you engage is to become more you than not you, and that's how you become more imbalanced as a person who you want to be, more in balance as that person, understanding what it's like to be that person. Don't worry about the don't forgets, because they're not you. Don't worry about anything, ideally, but we worry. The focus is on the moment. Be moment focused, because when you're moment focused, when you're in the car on your way to work, you take deep breaths instead of worrying what's going to happen in the so-called future. But it's not actually a future. You're taking, that's what you're doing with your moment, is worrying about something that hasn't happened yet. That's the moment that you're taking. You can take the moment in many different ways, and that's what you learn to do through this process. What do you choose to do in any moments? What do you choose? Don't get, look, those lists and fun, they're fun. Great, read them. Don't let them distract you from the way it actually means, what it actually means to live well in the modern world. And it ain't by add five reasons to add protein, to add more protein into your diet. It's a travesty because people get caught up in that kind of crap. And she's telling people what they want to hear. It's fantastic. She'll get five times the amount of hits I got from the articles I wrote for Mind Body Green. More power to her. That ain't my bag. I'm not interested in how to mire you in detail and say, don't forget to eat more protein in your day. You've got five things to do that you can focus on today so that you don't have to focus on how you want to live your freaking life with your family and your work and your friends and all the cool stuff that we're doing. You're doing great. You're doing great. The emails are coming and I love it. And that's how I know that you're trying this stuff out. And there's people who are hashtag dial back day in and going, one day, not so bad. And I feel really good as a result of it. I'm not punishing myself for one day. I'm like doing something different. It's a little bit different and I'm upsetting the balance. So it's a little odd. But the next day I feel really good that I did it. Kind of cool. And it's only one day. And it was less pleasure from food, but lo and behold, I was more aware in the moment with my family and less focused on the future of my next meal. What's that going to be? The planning of that. I could have put that to the side today so I could focus on more of the stuff that other stuff that gives me joy. How great is that? One day a week, whoop-dee-doo. Oh my gosh. We can do it. You can do it. Keep coming back here, you guys, every week. What's the problem? Really? Good. All right, you guys. Thank you very much for your feedback again. Thanks to that person who donated to the podcast. I really do appreciate that support for real. But also tell a friend, throw me an iTunes review. If you have a second, just click on there. You don't have to review, just click a star. And that's a huge help, gets the word out about this. I will be back next week, you guys. This is the Approaching the Natural podcast. I am Sid Garza-Hillman signing off. Until next week, be well.
Story to me. She said, I have been lost, I have been lost. Her one sweater was as worn out as she. But it looked like all that she needed . She said, you are sitting in this world. She said, you are getting along. She said, you have known a sense of. My face couldn't have told her all that. The words were born of the hope that had not left her. Tell her what was enough, enough. But I definitely hadn't figured that out for myself. And a sweet face of a quiet reckoning. There before me, silent and sad, but for a simple dignity. not getting along. She said you have known a sense of things, but the look on my face couldn't have told her all that. Left.